I want to share a message with you this morning entitled Stormproofed. Stormproofed. Most of us who are older than the teenage years, when we were in those younger days of our life, had occasions, most of us, when we chose not to do what we heard dad and mom say, what we may have heard our teachers or coaches saying to us, or even the pastor or Sunday school teacher, those kind of things. We made choices along the way where we didn't heed what had been said to us by the people who loved us, who watched out for us, who were over us. And we went our own way. That's kind of a default mechanism of a man's fallen state. We like to do things our way, go our way. And the Bible's very clear that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's not just enough to hear what God is saying or what God has said, but we're accountable and responsible to respond properly and in the right way to what He says. In other words, obedience matters. It really, really does. And so we're going to be looking at some scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 7. I love Matthew 7. It's some of Jesus' teaching. He begins that chapter by basically saying, stop judging, stop condemning. You know, get your own vision cleared, your own life cleared up first before you try to check someone else's out. Then he talks about keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking as you pursue the Father. He's looking for that kind of heart. People who are asking, seeking, knocking. Then he tells them that you can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears. There's going to be false prophets. And you can look at a tree, and if it's an apple tree, then you know if it's got apples on it, you know it's an apple tree and so forth. And so he gives that teaching about not being deceived by false prophets, but look at the fruit in their life. And then he tells about a group of people. He says, there's going to be those in that day that come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, I'm going to look at those folks and I'm going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, those of you who practice lawlessness, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, there'll be people that claim to know him, but he doesn't know them. And he follows that with a conjunction, therefore, in other words, in light of everything that he had covered in this section about you know how you're to live your life, including there's a broad way and a narrow way. A narrow way's life, and it's harder. A broad way will lead you the wrong way to destruction. After having taught all of that, he says, therefore, and then he gives us some imagery, some pictures to keep in our mind to understand the life that's lived the right way. And he tells about two different builders. Let's read it. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. I'm reading in the New King James Version. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why didn't it fall? For it was founded on the rock. Then, he's not through, he gives us another story. He says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, notice that's the only difference. One does them and one doesn't. He who hears and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus finished that teaching. But notice what the people that heard this, what they said. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at His teaching. Why? For He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He was sharing something with them, truth, that they needed to hear, but that truth came with an anointing, an empowerment, and an authority on it. Now, we can know this morning, as this word is read in our hearing, the Holy Spirit will move through that word, upon that word in our life, that it has that same authority and the same anointing on it to bring about the change in our lives, just like it did when Jesus uttered it over the souls of those who heard Him that day. That's the authority of God's Word. So, storm-proofed. Let me begin by telling you that there is a difference between something being storm-proofed and something that's storm-free. Jesus is talking about the way a person lives their life. And I'm telling you that He's teaching us that you can have a storm-proofed life. But I'm going to also tell you that you will not have a storm-free life. In both of these men's lives, the storms came. The rain descended, the wind blew, and the floods came. So, you will not have a storm-free life. Now, someone may have more storms than you have, or you may have more storms in your life that other people seem to have. Someone once said, probably wasn't far off the truth, that you are either about to go into a storm, or you are in a storm, or you are just coming out of a storm. You know, I don't think it's quite that bad, but there are storms in life. There's no storm-free version of life, but Jesus teaches you can have a storm-proof life. That is, when the storms come, you can still be standing when they're over. Your life can still be intact. You can be in a place where you're all right. You made it through. And that's what we want. And it's interesting, he says, the way you get that kind of life is by listening to Him and doing what He says. Now, like when we were teenagers and mom and dad would try to tell us something, the preacher would try to tell us something, our teacher would try to tell us something, our coach would try to tell us something, but we decided we wanted to listen to our knucklehead friends that had the same life experience we had, but we view them to be experts. Isn't that amazing? We need to hear what Jesus has to say to us and then do that. And this is really simple, but it's life-saving. It may very well, and it could very well be the thing that keeps your marriage together. It could be the thing, like these families who are up here, that help you raise your children so that they're equipped to live storm-proofed lives. Listen to the right people at the right time and do the right thing in the right way at the right time. Storm-proof. So let's make some observations from this passage today and ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Holy Spirit, be our teacher in Jesus' name. Okay, first thing. Beware of fair weather faith. Beware of a fair weather faith. A fair weather faith, that version of faith that a person has, will not weather the storms that's going to come in your life. Won't hold up when the pressure's on. You don't need to have a fair weather faith. It is a recipe for disaster. What's a fair weather faith? That's the faith where someone just lives with their head in the sand, not aware of what's going on, maybe not even be aware of the warfare that's going on against them, their family. The enemy's doing this to the left, to the right, everywhere you turn, all this stuff's going on, and you're living with your head in the sand, not aware of how the enemy's trying to steal your kids, trying to wreck your marriage, how to mess up your finances, how to take away your health, and just kind of like living in blissful ignorance. If you live with your head in the sand, as the little cartoon shows you, then you're building on the sand. You got to have your feet on the rock. Feet on the rock, but not your head in the sand. And the enemy works in darkness. A lot of what he does is in the unseen areas of our life. But fair weather faith will not stand the test. And as I've already said, there's no storm-free version of life. So when the storms are coming, you need to be prepared for them. How do you do that? By developing your relationship with Jesus, resting in Jesus, standing on His Word, knowing His Word, using His Word, using the weapons of warfare that He's given us to utilize. But we're living in a time when people are customizing the Scriptures to fit their own life. Paul warned us of the last days. He said, in the last days, people will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, people are going to look for that person that's going to teach them what they want to hear. And it's important that we understand this because that's very, very dangerous. You can't just say, well, I'm going to live my life this way. I know the Word says this, but I'm going to do this anyway. Jesus said, if you hear these sayings of mine and you don't do them, you're building on the sand. You're trying to adjust the Scriptures to who you are instead of adjusting who you are to the Scriptures. There is a standard. Thy Word, O Lord, is settled forever in the heavens. There is a right and a wrong. There is good, there is evil. There is the Word of God, the wisdom of God, and there's the foolishness and the philosophies of the world. And cultural ideology will not prepare you for the storms that will come and slam against your world and your life. It's only the Word of God. Now listen, we were made for the Word. Why? We were made by the Word. Right? And we're made for it. In other words, I believe our DNA, so to speak, that when God created humanity, He encoded in us an awareness of our need for divine truth, for God's Word. He encoded that in us. And when we hear it, the Bible calls it conviction. The Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and make you aware of a deficit in your life or something that's off in your life or something that's out of order in your life. And there's that inner awareness of like, something's wrong, but what I'm hearing tells me how to fill this void, displace this thing, and get into adjustment with God. And that's important that we understand that the Word of God is alive and powerful. That it imparts life to us as we hear it and heed it. Hear it and obey it. James very strongly warns us against just being hearers of the Word and not doers. That sets us up to be deceived. That's we can hear the Scriptures, and if we run it through our filter, then it comes out over here, and we justify what the Scripture doesn't. So we're adjusting things to us. But the Holy Spirit conviction, our hearts can become hard. We can become hard of hearing. Our conscience can become darkened, seared. We can get in a condition where the Word's not doing what it could do because of our heart condition and our dullness of hearing. And we're living in a time where we're being bombarded every which way we turn. And a fair weather version of Christianity will not work. You cannot just customize your own Jesus, where He's Is he friend of sinners? Absolutely. Is he full of love? Absolutely. Is he full of compassion? Absolutely. Does he have mercy? Bunches of it. But he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah with fire in his eyes and holiness in his heart. And when he sees sin in our life, he sees the thing that's trying to destroy us, so he's coming after it. He's not going to be satisfied with you holding on to that because he knows it's going to destroy you. So you can't just customize him and make him all right with the thing that's eating your life away. He didn't hang on that cross and bear that on that cross to just flippantly allow that to happen to you. He's going to come after it. He's going to convict you. He's going to deal with you about it. A good father will chasten you, and we've got a good one. He's not going to coddle it. He's not going to tolerate that. In other words, he's not going to let you by with it. Why? Because storms are coming, and he loves you. So a fair weather faith, it might work on some sunny days because it's all on the surface. But when the storm comes, you find out where you're founded. Now, you can't, this idea of having one's head in the sand and just having this version of Christianity, there's different ways it can express yourself. We are not called to deny reality or even what might be factual. We're not called to do that. What we are called to do is when we face reality and see the facts or hear the facts, we turn to the Word and we utilize the Word, and it allows us to overcome that, to triumph over it. Both of these men had to deal with storms. They can't sit in the house and say, that's not a storm coming. It's not raining. The wind's not blowing. That doesn't work. It's like, hey, the storm's coming. It's raining and it's flooding and I'm going to do something about it. Jesus, I saw where you walked on water. You helped Peter walk on water. If this flood's coming in here, bless God, if I need to, I'm walking on water. You see what I'm saying? The facts are real, but the truth triumphs over the facts. As you've heard me say before, an axe head will sink because of natural law and gravity. It will sink. But in the Bible, when a prophet lost his axe head in the river, another prophet caused the axe head to float. Now the fact was that axe head was in that river. It had sunk. It had submitted itself to the laws of nature. But the truth is there was a higher law and a greater power that saw those facts and said, axe head rise, and it suspended the natural law and it rose to the top and he put it back on the handle and got back swinging. We're not called to deny the facts or called to deny reality. We are called to use God's truth to overcome what is before us. Reminds me of the story I heard of the three preachers that they were surprised because when they died, they didn't go to heaven. And they woke up down there in devil land. No joking matter, but you'll get the point from the story. And one of them was walking around down there, the Pentecostal preacher, and he says, I thought I had it, but I lost it. I thought I had it, but I lost it. I thought I was saved, but I lost it. And then there was a Baptist preacher walking around, said, well, I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. I thought I had it, but I really didn't. And then there was a Word of Faith preacher walking around saying, it's not hot, and I'm not here. It's not hot, and I'm not here. Let's be wise in how we use the Word. Truth triumphs over our reality and our facts. And the Bible teaches us these things. Jesus, when he dealt with someone with a demon, he cast it out. He didn't say, just believe you don't have a demon. No, he cast it out with the Word of God. Are you hearing me? This, if we're not using our weapons right, if we're not careful, fair weather faith. No, we need to be founded on the rock, on the Word, be full of the Word, and using that Word the way it's supposed to be used, because storms will come. Secondly, skin-deep Christianity is deceptive and dangerous. Those who hear the Word and don't do them, that's the danger zone. But see, this follows Jesus telling about people who said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done wonderful works in your name? And yet Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You're saying you know me, but I don't have a relationship with you. I don't know you. The idea of knowing, intimacy, relationship. He's talking about people who just had the appearance of being Christian. And again, we can use Christianese language. We can sport the labels, have the bumper stickers, have the Bible under our arm, have all of that. But if we don't have Jesus ruling and reigning in our heart, we don't have what it means to be Christian. And a skin-deep Christianity is deceptive and dangerous and will not withstand the storms. You will not have a storm-proofed life with this version of Christianity. It's, whether it's the head in the sand or just all about appearance skin-deep. Kind of weave some of this together and apply it. In our culture today, I am challenged by some of the new teachings of the world. I'm challenged by those. I'm challenged. You got political correctness, wokeism, can't even keep up with the plural pronouns and all the different pronouns, all of that stuff. I'm challenged by that. You know what challenges me? I'm challenged by the radical obedience that I see people expressing in their life to these new sayings of the world. There's someone somewhere coming up with this. Now, it's overthrowing millennial of clearly, biblically defined truth. It's turning the back on the long-held Judeo-Christian morality, biblical morality that we've all grown up with, even here in the Bible Belt. I am challenged by how people are radically doing what they hear the world saying. It's amazing to me. It's supernatural. Think about it. It is supernatural for something to have that kind of influence and power on people. You can call yourself a bird, but you still can't fly. You can say it's the truth, but it's still a lie. You can call yourself they when you're really a he. But when you're that blind, you simply can't see. I think I got me a rap song going here. Do you know, supernatural, you know the only place in Scripture that someone refers to themselves as we was the man who was full of demons. There has been such a strong delusion that has been loosed globally. I've got ideas about that, and I think some of them have some roots in the Scripture. But I am challenged by how a group of people can get together, marshal a plan, and like a fisherman casting a net, unleash it on a nation. And the nation kind of begins, people in the Bible Belt, we've met and know people that went to Sunday school class, baptized in the baptistry, that are like little birds in the nest, gobbling it down and aligning their life and adjusting it their life, adjusting their thinking, their behavior. They're adjusting everything to what the world is saying. I'm challenged by that. What am I? I'm challenged by that level of a radical obedience. Turning away from what their parents or grandparents taught or what their coaches and teachers used to teach, and hopefully some still do. I know they do. But you're hearing what I'm saying. How they will just radically adjust. Jesus says, those who hear these sayings of mine and they do them, then here's the result of that. They'll have a storm-proof life. And the enemy knows, if I can get them to hear these sayings of mine and get them to do them, then I will collapse their life. They'll be headed for a fall. They'll be destroyed. You see, the enemy knows how to load his gun with the Word of God and pollute it, pervert it, and twist it around and use the underlying principles of that Word. And that's what's happening. And it's deceptive. And it's dangerous. You will collapse in the storm if you fail to put into practice the Word you have heard. And I should have added, from God. All of us have influencers who influence the decisions we make. Our children are being influenced. We are being influenced. Now, I'm way on the north end of being out of high school. But it's even harder on younger people today than it's ever been. Because they're not untethered from this influence. Neither are we. We carry it with us. Mine's on my desk in my office. But we're just tethered to all these, the media and everything. And it can be used in a godly way. And that's the way we need to use it. But the enemy has such untethered, such unfettered access to people. And we need to be aware of this. Just hearing the Scriptures is insufficient. Now, it's necessary. Faith comes by hearing, right? But it's what you do with what you've heard that produces fruit in your life. And we see this here. Let's move on. Be a rock solid believer. That's what Jesus is saying. If you hear this stuff I'm teaching, you put it in practice in your life, you're on the rock. When the storms come, you'll still be standing when it passes. And the storms can be traced all the way to the great white throne judgment, if you will. How you view and respond to what Jesus says reveals the standard by which you live your life. Bottom line, litmus test. Be a rock solid believer. What's that look like? Last thing. Real disciples look and live like Jesus. If you do these sayings of mine, and if you do what I say, if you do that, then you'll be rock solid. Your house will stand. And by the way, why do all of you live in houses? Why do we live in houses? Why not just live out in the front yard? Why you live in a house? Primarily to protect you from the elements. Privacy, comfort, so forth, protection. Very applicable here. You know, that this is the kind of house he's talking about. Our life. Protected from the elements of the world. You need to be on a firm foundation. You need to be stormproof. Now, I'm a builder by trade for years. If you've ever lived in a house with a basement or ever built a house with a basement, you know there's certain things that have to be done. If you, and particularly depending on the water table levels where you live, but here's the idea. If a basement means there are walls of your house that are under the ground. The ground holds water, some areas more than others. It's called a water table. Is that water, when the rains come and the floods come, the ground becomes soaked? We had a storm that blew through a couple of years ago, very high winds. That storm was preceded by tremendous volume of rainfall. You remember that. We had huge pine trees on the back acres of where we live that just were blown over because the ground got so soggy the roots couldn't hold the tree and it gave way, it collapsed. Well, if you live in a basement, when the ground gets soaked, that puts immense pressure on those basement walls. And that pressure will push that water through concrete blocks. It'll go down under the floor, push the water up in the seams and so forth. You have to waterproof or stormproof that thing so that the wind, the water pressure can't get through. And similarly, Jesus is saying, we live in a world there's going to be all kind of pressures, all kind of storms trying to invade our life. And the enemy's plan is for us to soak in what he says. Soak in his design. Soak in his plan. Do we get full and our life just gets flooded? And everything starts to mold over. Then it gets to where even breathing the air can kill you. Yeah, that's the devil. I believe mold was the devil's idea. But real disciples look and live like Jesus. In other words, we're stormproof. We're heeding and hearing Jesus' word. Now, please don't get the idea that I'm trying to say that we're all perfect. I am not by a long stretch, and my wife will testify and give 3 amens and 4 hallelujahs to that. You know. So I'm not wanting to cause anyone to doubt your standing with the Lord if you know Jesus and you're living for Him. Because the truth is, among Christians, there's different levels of spiritual growth. Some people just grow more than others. Some bear more fruit than others. Some look more like Jesus than others. And some have more disobedience in their life than others. But Jesus is talking to these people and said, I never knew you. They're not under conviction. They're not bothered by sin. They may wear a Jesus pin, but listen, if you belong to Jesus Christ, that means His Spirit lives in you, and the Holy Spirit is never happy about the toleration of sin in our life. But He's very patient, and He's very gracious, and He's very merciful. And usually what He does, He'll begin to work on one area and bring that to your attention, because if He showed us everything that needed to be changed across the course of our life, well, we'd just probably go ahead and, Lord, just take me on. It's a process. But I'm talking about a willingness in your heart to do what Jesus said. I'm not saying you might not ever stumble. You might not ever miss the mark. So please understand where I'm coming from here. But if you're not ever convicted, if there's no evidence that you're not bothered by doing all kind of stuff that you know Jesus said you shouldn't do or not doing things that Jesus said you ought to do, if that doesn't bother you at all, then you need to examine where you are. Because the Holy Spirit will be a faithful Holy Spirit, and He convicts of sin and He of righteousness and of judgment. He makes us, we were made to be aware when things are not right. Your body in the physical lets you know most of the time when something's not wrong. It's called pain. in your soul. You can have different kinds. You can have emotional pain. You can have all these things going on. You know something's not right. In your spirit, you can't have peace. You can't walk in the peace of God. You may have peace with God, but you can't walk in the peace of God if things aren't right. Because the Holy Spirit's just so faithful. He's going to let you know. You can't sin and enjoy it. Not for long at a time. So, I would say if you've been saved a number of years and you haven't seen any change in your life and it doesn't bother you, just do whatever. You need to really have a serious talk with Jesus. Because it's a scary thing to think He might say, you know what, I never knew you. Yeah, you used my name, but for wrong reasons. Well, how could people have demons cast out? Or how could people be saved? Listen, because of the power of God's Word. A lost person can preach the gospel and thousands of people might get saved. It's not because of the power of the preacher. It's because of the power of God's Word. It's the power of truth. You can plant a seed on uncultivated soil and a lot of them find a way to grow. It's the power in that seed. Real Christians look and live like Jesus. And that always convicts me. We need to have that John the Baptist attitude. He must increase, I must decrease. Because we know if God's plan is to conform, if He's working all things, Romans 8:28, He works all things together for good. Romans 29, to conform us to the image of His Son. I hope you see in that process, whatever's coming at you, He wants to work, orchestrate it so that it helps you become more like Jesus. Which means we're not, any of us yet, just like Him, but we're being made like Him. His life is in us. But we have to, like we're learning the scripture memory about being crucified with Christ. I don't know, did I skip that today? Okay, we did it in early service. Grab that by faith. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In a life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in, or faith of, both of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. God's working in you to make you more like Jesus, and it's going to be uncomfortable. And sometimes storms come, and He can even use the storms. I'm not saying He causes those storms. But the man that was building on the rock still had to deal with the storms. And it's amazing to me how God can do that, but He does. The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. And men's hearts are like that. Some things soften men's heart, other things harden them. Sometimes it's the Word of God is received that way. Some people harden themselves to it. Some are broken by it and made new by it. God give us tender hearts. God give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts, minds to know and understand, that we might become more like Jesus. Now I want you to stand with me this morning, and we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would make you aware. If you're here in this audience today and you've never trusted Jesus to save you, or you don't have assurance that you're saved, you can do that right now. Confess Him as Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, save me. I confess that You're Lord. I want You to be Lord of my life. I willingly surrender to You. I believe God raised You from the dead. Save me, Lord Jesus. Just nail that down. You can know for sure. Then follow Him into the waters of baptism. We had about 9 people that were baptized Wednesday night. If you know you're saved, I would just challenge those of us who are believers in this regard. Knowing how the Holy Spirit often works in an area, what area of your life do you think needs to be adjusted so that you're more faithful to be actually doing what the Word says? Is there an area of weakness? Is an area that you tend to stumble on repeatedly? Where do you think the enemy's going to aim at if he's looking for a place to get you? Going to be those areas. So that's the areas we need to get in alignment. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us. What do you struggle with? Where do you feel like you need to be more like Jesus? I mean, that the Holy Spirit has His finger on a certain area. Just start there right now. Just say yes to that conviction and say, Lord, help me. You don't have to be big, long prayers. Jesus, help me with this. I know I need to adjust here. I'm not in a good place, not in the right place. Lord, cleanse me. I choose right now to submit to You. Help me, strengthen me, give me grace. I'm going to do what You say now. I'm making a commitment to walk out what Your Word says about this area of my life. Help me to walk out what the Word says in this area of my life. I'm choosing to put into practice today what the Word says about this area of my life. Hope you have a yes in your heart there. Our prayer team members are coming now. They will be in the altar area. And I would just encourage you, any of you that feel a prompting to receive prayer in any of these areas we've covered today or any other area, if you need prayer, maybe you need a prayer for healing, maybe you gave your life to Christ, you've recommitted your life to Christ, or maybe you're just struggling with something, or you may be in that place where, like, I don't know exactly what it is, but something's not right. Well, come and pray. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit will begin to do with that simple act of humble faith. Just make your way on up right now. Come on up and receive ministry. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way.
Nothing worth more that will ever come.
Act on that yes in your heart. Are there others who come?
Our living home. Your presence.
Now, brothers and sisters up here that'll pray with you, love on you, help you, listen to God with you.
I taste it and sing.
Anyone else?
Jesus of love.
Come on out here and
my heart becomes free. My shame is undone.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence.
Your presence.
Others? Have you been baptized in water? Have you been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit? Struggling in a relationship? Have a need in your life? This is the time. Feel free to come.
God's all in this place right now. When he did his sermon, I was pondering one day with God, and I coached my son in several sports, and I started out in soccer, which I didn't know nothing about. I knew the rest of them, but I just started playing all offense. People got mad at me to hear about soccer, and they said, you don't even know soccer, it's a defensive game. I said, all I know is it's 9-0 in my favor, and you're supposed to win. In baseball, I was always at the top 4 or 5 batters in the league. Football, we pushed it. Basketball, I told my son, the only reason you play defense, you get the ball back because it's yours. And I was thinking all that, and God said, you didn't get that on your own. You got that from me. God said, I never made a defensive move in my life. So I had a question, God. I said, what about Bear Bryant and all them great football player, football coaches? He said, defense is the best offense. God said, there is no defense for my offense. Right after that, I had a dream. In a dream, I was walking down a dirt road that was rounded high in the middle and had deep ditches. And I looked up, and a tornado wider than the road was coming at me. And it was ripping out oak trees and beech trees on each side, coming right down the center of the road. And I'm walking down the center, and I thought, if I crawl in that ditch, I might save my life. And then a voice out of the ditch said, a wise man, a prudent man, sees danger and takes cover. And I first thought, that's got to be God. That's right out of the Bible. Then the Holy Spirit in me said, that's not your daddy, because your daddy don't play defense. So I looked back at the storm on the road, and I kept walking towards it, and I kept pointing at it. I said, move, move, move. And I said it three times. The storm went out through the field, and I watched it go through the field. As it went through the field, I thought I was all alone in the dream, but I looked behind me, and youth and young people was following me. And they was just happy and skipping, and they was following me. And that storm had to stay out of the young people before it could come back in the road. The Lord said, if you crawl in a ditch, you might save your own life, but you lost everybody following you. You lost all the young people. You lost all the youth. And I just think how the church, the storms are going to come every day. We play defense instead of offense, and we're losing our youth. When it gets 17, 18, we lose them because of the way we reacted to the storm. The Lord says that the cross was an offensive move. The resurrection was an offensive move. Shut up.
Conviction in this house this morning. And we need to search our hearts, each and every one of us, to be warriors equipped for what's ahead of us. Victory in our heart, but understanding this is war, it's a battle. Amen. And we thank the Lord for His joy, all of that, very, very much. But we're challenged today. And Lord, we receive these challenges from Your Word. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers. Lord, help us to realize Your promise to storm the gates of hell. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for the power of Your Word. Thank You for Your presence in our midst today. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we say yes and amen to these words that we have heard. And we say, dear Father, that by Your grace, we will rise up and meet what is ahead of us with victory in our heart, a sword in our hand, having on the armor of God. And thank You that we will be those who take the land. Thank You that we will be those who forerun and clear the thickets. We will be those, Lord, that see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That this region, Lord, will be pregnant with the activity of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we are just believing together for a marshaling of troops and a generation of young warriors that are leading the way. And we will not say the enemy will have our youth. We do say this morning, our children's children, the young people of this region will rise up and serve the Lord. Back off, devil! Back off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, let's go forth and change this world. In Jesus' name. God bless you. This altar remains open. Enjoy a time of fellowship. Enjoy a wonderful afternoon. Love you all. Blessings to you.